Welcome to the Raw Food Health Empowerment Podcast, where we delve into the powerful benefits of a holistic, high raw vegan lifestyle for achieving optimal health, brain function, and overall well-being. I'm your host, Samantha Salmon, certified integrative nutrition coach and brain health licensed trainer. And today we're talking about patience, right? Understanding that the transition to a raw food diet is a process that may require time to adjust. And what I like to encourage too is a high raw vegan diet. So we definitely get into the raw foods in my coaching programs because I find it's the best way to maintain a healthy weight and get to a healthy weight, right? We have to eat those fruits and vegetables. And when we're eating water, it helps to, you know, maintain our weight. And we have a lot of science to back this up, right? So just for folks who may be new to the term raw food diet, raw food, right? And the way I'm talking about it, raw vegan food, right, is uncooked, unprocessed foods that hasn't been heated beyond 118 degrees, right? And it's all plant foods, right? So there are folks who are doing raw meat diets. We're not doing that. We're doing whole foods, plant foods, raw. So they haven't been heated beyond 118. So you'll notice with some of my recipes that are warmed, they're warmed in the dehydrator on like 105 or maybe 115, around there for some time. But even, you know, I've spent a lot of time, many years, without a dehydrator. Dehydrator is fun for folks who say, man, I have to have something warm, then definitely invest in one and get one. But you don't have to have it. It is an additional piece of equipment, but I find kitchen equipment makes food prep fun, but you don't have to have it. You know, some folks have recipes that call for like 12 hours of dehydration. I don't tend to do that long dehydration because that's too much. If I'm hungry, I'm hungry. You know, we do some planning, especially around the holiday menu and holiday meals, where like, let's say you make your breakfast in the morning and then you'll make what will be dinner, dehydrate that for a few hours. So by the time dinner rolls around, it's nice and warm. It still has some juice to it, depending on what the dish is. But you know, we're not doing the overnight, whatever. Plus my dehydrator stops at 12 hours. So like, you know, it takes a lot of planning. So anyway, with all that being said, we know the benefits of a raw food diet, right? You probably watched my Raw Food Health Empowerment Summit or the Thrive Through Food Summit, where we talked about how nutrition's role in mental health and how a lot of people have been able to overcome anxiety and depression utilizing raw foods, overcome hemorrhoids, overcome obesity, and obesity is a risk factor for the brain. So there's a ton of benefits. For me personally, the benefit has been proper digestion. Like, I cannot digest food that has been cooked, especially not overcooked, right? Like, I won't be able to sleep properly. It affects my entire life and well-being, right? So raw foods is a huge part of my diet, just so that I can enjoy the foods that I'm eating and just be comfortable in my own body. And so why is that the case? Well, with cooking beyond 118 degrees, you kill off some of the vitamins and enzymes in particular. Enzymes are heat sensitive. And so beyond 119 degrees, they start to die off. Those enzymes are critical. And if you've done some of my programs, you've learned a little bit more detail on this, the nuances with enzymes and things. And I also recommend, I interviewed Vasanto Molina. She's a registered dietitian and the author of Becoming Raw. Really great book. And I'll share the link below to the book that you can read to learn more about how this works, right? She talks a lot about how, you know, the food hits the stomach and what happens, you know, after the stomach and blah, blah, blah. For me personally, the digestion that's most impactful for me is what's happening in the esophagus before it hits the gastric juices in the stomach, right? And so whether or not science has all that information to back that up or not, like, this is a physical experience that I have. Like, literally, I cannot get my food down without having raw food to help it get down, right? And that's happening upper esophageal, okay? Because I have a history of acid reflux and GERD from experiences before going vegan. So, and you know, whoever want to fight me in the comment section on that, let's go, okay? Because, you know, science could say what science says, but nobody could tell me, you know, what I feel in my body and what I know to be true. And that's why I say, try it on. There's no side effect to eating a raw food diet. Honestly, there's no side effect as long as you're eating enough, right? There are folks who are getting sick or hurt or whatever, they're just not eating enough, right? Or they're like, they're trying to do this whole, you know, portion control or dieting type of thing around raw foods, and it doesn't quite work like that. I do some level of portion control when it comes to raw foods, because specifically fats, when I have too many fats, I get physical pain in my stomach, but it's abundance. You know, I eat, you know, it really vibes with me because I love to eat and I like to eat a lot. And, you know, for folks who like to eat a lot, it's a really great tool. If you're somebody who doesn't have a great appetite, or you forget to eat, you know, there are people like that. You really need to be mindful if you're doing raw foods, or maybe just, you know, don't focus on being 100% raw. Maybe you do high raw, have a really dense smoothie in the morning and a nice big cooked dinner in the evening, you know, because there's some people out here doing one meal a day, two meals a day, you know, because they don't really have a big appetite. They just eat because they have to. I cannot relate. I love to eat, right? I could eat all day if my system would allow. I've said many times, man, these cows out here are so blessed. They have four stomachs to fit all the food, you know. I wish I could have four stomachs. What I would do, but but yeah, anyway, these are the benefits of raw foods. And not just even that, like the weight loss component, like I said, you're talking about nutrient-dense meals that tend to be lower calorically, high in water, high in fiber. So digestion on the other end, in terms of getting your colon clean, right? Getting that waste matter out, it's very helpful for that. It's also hugely anti-inflammatory, and an anti-inflammatory diet is just good all around. Good for the body, good for the brain. But there are challenges when you're transitioning, right? Like I mentioned, some folks, depending on their personality types and hunger cues, they have difficulty meeting caloric needs, especially at first. This is why when I first went raw, I counted my calories because I was very mindful about that. I didn't want to waste away and disappear. Nutritional deficiencies happen if you are not eating enough and if you are not rotating, right? You know, it takes months probably for nutritional deficiencies. I've never experienced a nutritional deficiency in the 15 years I've been a high raw vegan. And I don't have any clients that have experienced nutritional deficiencies as far as I know. You know, if I've ever had a conversation, like I know I've had conversations with customers when we had the juice bar, you know, I'm trying to get this or whatever. And so we would recommend certain things, certain fruits or vegetables that will have some of these nutrients, put it in a smoothie, put it in a juice, get it in however you want to get it in. But typically, if you're eating enough, if you're eating sufficient amount of calories for your bodily needs, and you are rotating and eating local and all this kind of stuff, you don't have these issues with nutritional deficiencies. But caveat to that, there are certain things beyond diet that can cause nutritional deficiencies, like high stress, like really, really high stress. I mean, with high stress, you can even lose your vision, which is so scary. I read this article from like a doctor who, I forget what happened to him. Like he had a really traumatic thing happen to him, and his retina, it wasn't like physical trauma, it was emotional, psychological trauma. And his retina detached from his eyeball. Crazy. Like who knew something like this could happen? But stress can do it, you know? So you just want to be mindful of that. Like keep stress levels down, maybe make some hard choices so you have some healthy boundaries in place. Folks sometimes have issues like bloating just from eating more plants. And we have some interviews on my channel, on my YouTube channel, around this. You can search bloating and gas on my YouTube channel for this. I remember what's coming off at the top of my head. I interviewed Dr. Toomey Johnson. I think that was on hydration. I had a conversation with Amma Opare about bloating and gas. Granetta Coleman from Rooted Dish, we talked about it on our interview. Yeah, so we've been discussing it. So, and there's a lot of digestive videos on my channel. So you can go back there and watch. And you know, you may be in a situation where you have to use some probiotics or digestive enzymes in the beginning to get your gut bacteria just acclimated to these new plants and give you some level of comfort in the beginning. And then there's the social and lifestyle adjustments to accommodate the diet, right? In terms of, for me, like some of the more challenging parts of eating clean, I would say just eating clean, because I consider a high raw vegan diet to just be eating clean, right? And it shouldn't be a big deal, but because we're living in an environment where everyone is used to and applauds and celebrates unhealthy eating, then you become like the weird one just because you don't want to eat trash, you don't want to eat cancer, you don't want to eat, you know, fat or diabetes, basically. You become the weird one out. So like, you know, work situations were quite interesting, but I feel like people are kind of changing now. And there are little tricks that I like to tell my clients, like eating beforehand. If you are at a dinner, you're all at a table and you have to eat something, get the appetizer salad, eat beforehand so you're not hungry. But if you are hungry, you know, look on the menu to see all the sides that you can put together to make a meal. Maybe get two or three of the salads and just bulk it up and do the best you can. Things like that. Because, you know, any restaurant worth their salt is going to at least have some plants on the menu, you know, something. And typically, you know, I've been able to ask waiters to do things a certain way in the kitchen, you know, make sure there's no meat, dairy, eggs in it. And, you know, if I want it, no oil or whatever, you know, they can make adjustments if I'm looking for stuff like that. But, you know, so it's not typically a problem. You have to be just really confident in what you're doing and knowing that you are going to be different, right? You don't want to be on the same treadmill as everyone else who is on the fast path to early death and destruction. The only reason why you're watching or listening to this podcast is because you actually care about living a long, healthy life, being there for your family, and being comfortable while you're here, you know? And so that means you walk by a whole different order, and you could be setting the trend in your place. Because like I remember in the beginning of my vegan journey, I was working in commercial real estate as a property manager, a commercial property manager. I had an amazing manager, and you know, I was eating clean and all this stuff, and pretty new on my journey, because I was like, this is the Bay Area. So it was like, you know, at least 2 years in. And my boss was like, here's a credit card. You could go to Whole Foods and bring some healthy snacks back to the office. So now I became the health leader for the office because he was empowering me to do it. Because they knew the journey I was on. And he was empowering me to just help everybody, just make the office healthier, right? No one felt any kind of way like I was making them go vegan, because I never had that conversation with them. I wasn't really trying to do that, because that just didn't feel like the space. Like, why should they? Like, I'm doing it for me, for my health, you know? And, but they were like, you know, which it just made sense. Like, it just is a commonsensical thing. Like, I'm like, why doesn't everybody do it? But some people feel threatened, you know, by other people actually doing good things for themselves, which says a lot more about them than it does about you. But this boss was so cool. And, you know, he's a super active person. So I'm pretty sure him and his wife are somewhat health conscious. I mean, they're in the Bay Area. So, you know, he was just like, you know, here's the card. Bring back the stuff. And I felt really supported. Now, I know not everybody has an office like this, a boss like that, or arrangements like this. So you just have to work around that, you know, and do the best you can. So tips for an effective transition. First, gradually incorporate more raw foods week to week. You don't have to jump in and say, I'm going to be 100% raw, unless you're dealing with this really severe health crisis. Even if you are obese or morbidly obese, right? Starting off with a green smoothie, that's how I started. Just getting first, right? My journey was getting more water in my system. Then I conquered that. Then it was, let's get more greens in. I conquered that, right? Take it step by step. What's the one thing that you need to do right now that can be the domino for everything else? That could have the biggest impact. Just start there, right? If you are really, really hungry a lot, right? You may want to look to adding in more calorie dense choices like nuts, avocados, nut butters. I won't even say don't go crazy, because some people, if they go crazy, it's not going to matter to them at all. Not everybody eats the same way or needs to have the same diet, because even within a vegan diet, even within a raw diet or a high raw diet, there's no one way to eat. Some of us do better high sugar foods. Some of us do better high protein foods. Some of us do better high fat foods, right? And so you have to figure out how your body thrives by experimenting with different things, really listening to your body and tuning in. And if you need guidance or meal prep, meal planning, definitely sign up for my 6-month coaching program and let's work together. And I can offer this support to you to make sure that you keep moving forward on your journey. You want to communicate diet changes for support, or maybe not, if you think people aren't going to be supportive. You know, if you have family and friends that aren't into it and that are going to just fight you or whatever, stay quiet and just do what you need to do for yourself. You don't have to tell anybody. But if you have supportive people, then talk to them, right? It's one of those things you kind of have to gauge and know the people you around, right? Sometimes people can surprise you, but sometimes not, you know? And stock up on the equipment that you need. One of the things that I find really critical, I mean, of course, you need a blender and a juicer if you're going to juice. I find having a food processor makes raw food so fun. I mean, there's so many things you can do, especially like if you're used to rice, you can make cauliflower rice, parsnip rice, broccoli rice, you know, having a food processor, having a little mini blender or something like that to make dressings and sauces. Of course, you need the food processor to make cheeses and pâtés and different things. Like the whole world of what's possible opens up when you have the right tools. Another game changer for me was my mandolin slicer. I have so much fun with my mandolin slicer. It is not even kidding. Like, and it was so funny. Like the other day, I was showing my dad the mandolin slicer, you know, all excited about it. And I was like, make sure you don't touch the blade because it's super sharp. And while I'm telling him, I'm touching the blade. And I don't even know. It's like the first time, like, I did ever do something like this, because I've been so careful and cautious. And I touched it. I pressed on it hard enough where it punctured the first layer of skin and I cut myself. And I'm like, look at this. I'm telling him not to touch the blade, not go ahead and touch the blade and cut myself. So be very careful. This is where you like up your kitchen game, right? When you start working with mandolin slicers and all that kinds of stuff, right? You up your kitchen game, but it gets really super fun, right? So some meal planning tips for beginners. What do you eat, right? What does a meal plan even look like at this stage? And I do have free meal plans on the site. They haven't been updated in a while. This is back years ago when I first started Raw Food Meal Planner. I had posted free meal plans. So free 100% raw, free high raw. So they are on the site. When you go to the website, rawfoodmealplanner.com, and you navigate to free meal plans, they're there. Some of the links may be broken, I'm sorry. But I do have up-to-date new meal plans for you inside my coaching program. And I also offer some personalized meal plans, you know, if there's certain things you don't like or you can't eat, and we calculate calories and things like that. You know, we calculate a meal plan to get you to your health goal, right? What can work for you? What are you willing to do, not willing to do, that type of thing. So if you want to jump on that train, the 6-month coaching program is for you, and I'll make sure the link is in the description to this episode. But just to give you an idea of what this meal plan could look like. So breakfast could be a smoothie. And, you know, for folks who are concerned about protein, I'm going to show you how I get it in. I love to put almond butter in my smoothie. I know someone emailed me during the Thrive Through Food Summit and said, you know, she's allergic to nuts and seeds and things like that. You don't have to have that stuff in there. Definitely have your omega-3s in there. So I put flax seeds. I usually have in there. If I don't have flax seeds, I will use hemp seeds. But yeah, so I'm getting my protein there, fat and satiation there. For lunch, you can have a large salad with a nice dressing, like an avocado hemp dressing or a tahini dressing. I love me a tahini dressing. And ooh, almond butter dressing. Like, I love doing almond butter with like a coconut aminos and all sorts of stuff. All some like delicious, delicious stuff. For snacks, you could just, I like to snack on just whole fruits, or I have sprouted almonds here, which I love to snack on. Sometimes, you know, if you're feeling fancy, you can make raw vegan brownie or like a nut, one of those, what do we call them? Those nut and date balls. We call them, for some reason, my brain doesn't want to work today. I forget what we call these little balls, energy balls, but there's another name that we call them. And I know y'all are probably screaming at me right now with the name, and I cannot, my brain, it just won't zero in on the word. It's like the word is right there and it just is going everywhere else. Anyway, you could have those for snacks. For dinner, you know, if you're doing high raw, dinner could be some nice clean cooked meal. So maybe like quinoa with chickpeas and over a bed of kale greens or something like that. Or you could do, I like to do heart of palm noodles with some kind of dressing or sauce. And you don't have to cook it, right? This is completely raw. Or you could do like a zucchini noodle or a kelp noodle. Kelp noodles I had all the time when I was in LA. I love it. It's super delicious. And there's so many things you could do with that. It's really like the taste and flavor is all in the dressing, but you get the nice crunch from the kelp. Anyway, with all that said, be patient. Listen to your body during the transition. Have fun on the journey. Have fun. And if anything concerning comes up, you're starting to have some kind of detox response or something's not feeling good, make sure you reach out to somebody. I do have a community that is open. The only fee you have to pay is to answer the survey to get in, right? The people in that group have answered the survey, or they are former or current clients, right? So somehow you have to pay to get in. And sometimes that payment is just telling me how I can help you, okay? So help me help you, right? And get in the group and you can share if something is going on and we can provide some support for you. And, you know, if it's something more serious, then I'll make a recommendation to see a health provider, depending on what the situation is. Transitioning is an investment in health that is worthwhile. It should be a fun journey. So just keep thinking of it as fun, make it fun. And if you want to learn more, I mean, I have a ton of episodes on this on the podcast, so there's a lot that you could listen to. Also, a great read is Becoming Raw by Vasanto Molina and Brenda Davis. Really interesting read. And also Dr. Doug Graham's 80-10-10 book. That was one of the first raw vegan books that I read. And especially the beginning part where he's just talking about our physiology and why it makes sense that we eat plants and not flesh. All of it totally makes sense and is definitely a worthwhile read. So anyway, good luck on your journey and be well.